Hey y'all, welcome to Wild Confidence. I'm your host, Ainsley B, and I can't wait to share with you some amazing guests on this season of the podcast. Our goal here is to help one another find, keep, and share our wild confidence in Christ. I'm so thankful you're joining us, and if you love the episode today, I'd be so grateful if you left a review or shared it with a friend. All right, let's hop in. I can't wait to meet our guest today. Tony Collier is the founder of an international women's organization called Broken Crayons Still Color and helps women process through brokenness and get to healing and hope. She's a speaker, host of the Still Coloring podcast, and author of two books, Brave Enough to Be Broken and her latest release, a children's book, Broken Crayons Still Color. Tony is teaching people all over the globe that you can be broken and still worthy or feel unqualified and still be called to do great things. Let's meet Tony. Okay, girl. Welcome to Wild Confidence, Tony. How are you today?
I'm so good. Let me just tell you, I was so excited to do this podcast for the simple reason that the word wild was in it, because this is the word that I use to describe myself all the time. So I'm excited to be here right now.
Yes, I know. I love it too. It's the best. It's one of the best words, I think. Like adventure, wild, and golden are three of my favorite.
Golden is fancy.
It's my daughter's name. So it's like.
Oh, that's really nice, actually. Wow. You're a creative girl. I can tell already. Meanwhile, my son's name is Sam. Okay. And Dylan. Okay.
No, those are strong names, though.
Thank you.
Golden, actually, well, it was from Golden, Colorado, but like Golden Tate gave me the bravery to make it my daughter's
official
name.
Official. Like, oh, I love it.
His name is Golden. That's cool.
I'm in.
So, anyway, okay, you just went on a cross-country trip.
Yeah.
Which I'm like, I need to hear, first of all, I want to hear everything, obviously.
Okay.
Yeah. You met new friends. The reason that you chose these people, correct me if I'm wrong, is that they've all experienced like opposition or hardship or something like that.
Yeah.
And you film the whole thing. Right?
And that's that. Okay. And then that's that. Here's what's crazy. Here's what people need to know. I went on this cross-country trip with an organization called Our Daily Bread, and it was 3 months after I'd had my son. Okay, this is what you need to know.
What?
Yes, 3 months. I had a 3-month-old. My boobs was leaking. I mean, so many crazy things. Okay, and honestly, it was a mistake. I'm just gonna be honest about that up front. Okay, but it turned out to be one of the most meaningful projects I've ever gotten to be a part of. My co-host Mariah Smallbone, who's incredible. Her husband's Joel Smallbone for King and Country. Mm-hmm. We did not know each other before we did this. And we literally hopped on the road together for 9 months, legit, which is so scary as a female. We already know because we're kind of crazy a little bit sometimes.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But we literally defied the odds and became besties for the restie as we went across the country interviewing women of good grit and moxie. We're talking about Dr. Bernice King, the youngest daughter of Martin Luther King Jr., which y'all know she's been through so much opposition and witnessed murders and deaths in her family and is still standing strong for unity and oneness in our nation. And you're talking about Johnny Erickson Tata, who is completely paralyzed from the neck down from a crazy athletic accident and has one of the largest international ministries organizations for disabled people. I mean, and the list goes on and on and on and on and on. We have all of these incredible women that we got to go like be with in their homes, with their families, and talk about like the dark parts of their stories and how they overcame it. And I just think, I have the chills. I just got the chills just that fast. I just think as a mama of a 9-year-old little girl, I can't wait for her to sit down again and watch all this content with me, so that she can realize that even when life completely sucks, God is still using his daughters to do amazing, wild things. So
yes,
that's what happened.
That's what happened. And it's called Unshakable Moxie.
Which, by the way, when they first pitched the show to me, I was like, I'm going to be honest with you. Either my vocabulary is limited or I should not have been given a degree from a seminary. I don't know what moxie means at all. Okay. And when they explained it to me, truly tears welled up in my eyes, because I have an organization called Broken Crayons Still Color. And moxie is that. It's the still coloring part. It's the I'm not faking strong. I'm not playing pretend and shoving things under the rug. No, I'm going to face it head on and I'm going to be unshakable in it. My faith is going to be unshakable. And that's how real moxie, grit, resilience is built. So it's awesome.
It sounds like a life-changing project, both for you who were in it and for the consumer who can just absorb all of that truth and all of that just goodness of God through hardship. Okay, so I have like 50 million questions.
Ready.
But first of all, what did you tap into to be able to do that 3 months postpartum? But I need to know that first.
No,
and then
this
I have
is
the
great.
Rest of the questions.
Let me tell you what I tapped into. The bravery to be broken and weak. There were moments when I was on camera and I was like, hey, I'm so sorry. I got a pump every 2 to 3 hours. Like, and I hated it. I hated that fragile, weak part of me. I hated being the one on set who didn't do a million things and was the one that everyone was like, I can't believe Toni's lasting this long. I can't believe she's gone this long without eating, and I was like, I don't even want to be that girl anymore. I want to be the girl that says, I actually need a break. It taught me the thing, honestly, that I preach across the world, like to be brave enough to be broken, to be courageous enough to say, I can't do that. Mm. And it gave me so much freedom to do that. And I think filming this over a year ago now, it gave me what I needed in this season. You know, we just released this show, but in the midst of it, I went through a really public and hard divorce. And so the content from the show is a whole different life than what I'm living now. And I could have said, nope, I don't want to release that. I don't want to show that. I don't want that comparison. I don't want people to see me with a wedding ring on the show and a wedding and no wedding ring now. But I remember the moments when I'm like, I'm tired and I can't film anymore. I have to go pump. I need to go be with my 3-month-old. And it's given me that grit and the resilience now to be able to say, no, let's show it. Let's show it. And it's going to be hard. And I'm going to watch it. And I'm going to cry. I'm going to cry that I'm not in the same home. I'm going to cry that I'm not with the person I thought I would spend forever with. I'm going to cry because little did I know I was being deceived as I filmed the freaking show. I'm going to cry. And then I'm going to let God create beauty, because the places that he creates the most beauty is in the broken pieces. Yeah. And so that's what it taught me. And that's how it has shaped me. And now I'm living the soft life is what the youngins call it. I don't want to be strong.
I need the soft life.
I need the soft life. Baby, I don't want to do the best I can. I want to do the bare minimum. Okay.
Yeah.
That's what I want to do.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Oh, yes. And amen.
And that's enough. Like, Ansley. Okay?
I will never have the capacity I once had. I don't think.
It's over.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, I little things like being in the kitchen and taking the milk out of the refrigerator 7 times. And being like, where's the milk? Like, I can't even, I'm not whole. I'm not the same. The brain cells are gone. They left with the kids.
Yes, truly. But you really did experience the part of moxie as you're going through it and as you're producing and as you're putting it out there. Like, not only did you not understand the word in the beginning, now you understand it more than ever. And you're like, I have walked it out.
I have moxie, guys. Surprise.
And here it is on display.
And here it is.
Okay. What was like, okay, I'm thinking about like all of these people that you interviewed and you spoke to are absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Those people who, when someone says, who would you want to have dinner with, like dead or alive?
Yeah.
These are some of the names that kind of pop up. And Dr. Lena Abujamra was on Wild Confidence before. So people already know her who listen, and we already love her. I'm so obsessed with her. She's such a badass. Like I just love her.
She just is.
She so is. And I'm thinking, what about Dr. Bernice King? Like what was one thing that you can never like let go of after meeting her? Like what's one thing that really stuck with her specifically?
I'm gonna tell you right now. I'm like already about to tear up. Help me. She brought us to, there's a hotel, the CNN Center and the Omni has like a hotel together in Atlanta. And they gifted her mother a suite that they can use forever and ever and ever and ever. So she brings us to this suite. It's the Coretta Scott King suite. It's crazy. Like you really start to realize that they're literally national treasures. Like this is what's happening right now. Yeah. And we're sitting down on the couch. And the state of Georgia had printed out all of these like pictures, these beautiful pictures of them. And there's one picture of her and her mother, and they're sitting in the pew at her father's funeral. And we see this picture and we have this great conversation at the suite. And she goes, I want to take you to the place that that picture was taken. So we go and sit in the pew where she was just a little girl next to her mother. I know. Watching her father. This pew was also where she sat when her grandmother was murdered by a gun in the church playing the organ. We are sitting in the pew. We can see the organ to the right of us. We're sitting in the pew. We can see where the eulogy was given and where the casket were. I mean, and she's sitting right there with us and she's saying, I also remember the first time that I forgave white people because I believe that they murdered my father, that their hatred and their weakness and their sickness murdered my dad. And it's just like, you cannot make up what it looks like to walk through like insurmountable pain and to say, I'm gonna forgive and I'm gonna stand for forgiveness and I'm gonna stand for unity when half of your family was taken off the face of the earth for the very thing that you continue to fight for. Yeah. What?
Yeah.
I don't-
That's nuts.
What are you saying? National holidays every single year. Yeah. The Black History Month. You live in the face of the very thing that took your daddy away. And you stand for it. I don't, what? I'll be mad at Target for doing crazy stuff. I can't even bear to shop at the local Target out here. I'm, girl. You know, like, I just, that's Moxie. She doesn't hide her tears. She doesn't hide the pain. She doesn't hide that she grew up without a father who didn't stand for anything wrong. He stood for something right. Unity, love, forgiveness, fairness. And you're just still standing with a smile on your face.
And grace in your heart.
And grace in your heart and forgiveness.
How did she say, like, obviously, we got to watch the show, obviously.
We got to watch the show.
Oh no, I'm like, oh, I want to.
No, this is good. I love it. We're doing the behind the scenes right now, guys. Y'all are getting all the good stuff. Ready?
I mean, I can't wait to watch like every single second of this because how incredible and how awesome for this project to have even happened. I know. I mean, how did y'all start this process? How did
it was not us at all. I got to shout out our director, Julie. This project is in remembrance of her mother, who was the first woman of Moxie that she had ever experienced. And I mean, Julie is just resilient, but more than anything, she is like a prayer warrior. Like, you know, them people that it's like, y'all got a direct line to the Lord.
Yes.
This is Julie. This is who she is. This is a woman who prays so fervently. She prayed for God to give her the host, the guest. She does not move on anything until she prays and gets confirmation from the Lord. The phone call she made to me, and we saw all sorts of God winks. Let me just prove it to you. The first episode you will see is me and Mariah's stories. And at the time, again, like I take them on, you know, a little journey in the place where me and my ex-husband now eloped, and I'm talking about all these great things about him. It's just so hard to watch. And I take them to Chattanooga, Tennessee, which is where we got married, and we're on a carousel. And we're riding these horses like the small children that we are. And every carousel has been sponsored by a person. And so at the very bottom, there's these little gold plates and each little horse has like a little name and blah, blah, blah. And we're riding up and down. And I just met Mariah, and Mariah's name is spelled M-O-R-I-H. And Mariah's like, my horse's name is something. I can't even remember what her little baby name is. And I look down at my horse and my horse's name is Mariah, spelled M-O-R-I-H.
Whoa.
that is what the fervent prayers of our director and creator of Unshakable Moxie, Julie, does. That's what happens when she hires a prayer team before she hires the host of the show to pray for the host and the guest of the show. That's how it came to be. A woman who is unashamed to be in the prayer room praying over every detail. What we gonna eat, what time we gonna film, what we gonna wear, what colors, everything. And she's the woman of Moxie here, good Lord. Teaching us all that prayer still works, that God's still on the job, and that he's still creating these little miraculous moments of God winks all over the place. And stuff like that happened all throughout the filming. It's crazy.
That is incredible. I love nothing more than stories of God winks. Like those are little miracles to me. Like those are absolutely miracles. Those are the kind of things that sustain faith so much that you're just like, oh, you were here. Like you were here before we were here. This is crazy that you had this specific thing lined up just for us. Cause you're like, you just did that for us.
I'm on a horse named Mariah. Yeah. This girl I just met, confirmation that I'm supposed to be here. That's dumb. But in our household, my daughter even says it now. She was like, Mom, I got another God wink. Just literally the other day, she was like, listen, this is so crazy. This is the scripture that we talked about in church. And my friend came over and I asked her what her favorite scripture was. And she said the scripture from church this morning. Mom, it was crazy. It's a God wink. Like, because we need that, right? Like, life is dumb, bro. Like, and it sucks. And we're living under a curse because of sweet baby Eve, okay? Because she couldn't withstand the charcuterie, okay? Yeah. You know, like, sweet girl.
Charcuterie.
Baby girl, get out of there. But we're living under this curse and we need, like, miracle. Like, I don't know about you. I've been exposed to drugs, addiction, alcohol, sexual abuse, verbal abuse. My dad was an alcoholic. I was in an abusive relationship. Like, I need more than what this raggedy world got to offer. I need more. I need the tangible proof of a living, breathing, creative, miraculous God. And if I can't have that, then y'all need to come and get me, Jesus. Okay, come and get me if you're not going to show up here on earth, you know? And so we look for it. We look for it. I pray. I'm like, God, give me eyes to see your goodness here in the earth, because I'm tired and you need to hurry up and come back. You know what I'm saying? But while we're here, though, waiting on you, show me your goodness. And he will. Every time.
You absolutely will. You're then able to, you know, defend your faith and talk about why you believe the things that you do, because you're like, there's no explanation for this.
I barely need the Bible to explain the goodness of God. I barely need it. We need it. Okay. But I barely need it because I have a note in my phone called Kindness of God. And all of my friends told me every time God does something crazy, put it in there. God does something crazy so that you can remember his goodness.
Yeah.
And I got stories, honey. I got some stories that'll blow your mind. Can't nobody tell me nothing. I could jump off a building. I think the Lord will catch me at this point. I'm his favorite. I don't know what y'all talking about. Y'all need to move around. How he taking care of me. Random checks in the mail. Look. Random people meet. Girl, I'm his favorite, baby. That's how I feel. Anywho.
I know I wrote it down somewhere.
You need to make a note.
I just don't know where. I know. I think I hand wrote it. And now I'm like, well, who knows how many notebooks that's in, how many notebooks ago that was. But I had that random money show up. I literally was praying. I heard the Lord tell me to buy somebody something that was away. Not, I didn't have this spare money laying around to buy this thing.
Lord,
right.
Lord Jesus. Yeah.
I'm like, you're going to have to give it to me if you want me to give it to this person. And the exact amount, it was one of those exact amount things. And I'm like, that is just so crazy. I saw a TikTok last night. This girl said, the Lord told me a year ago to put $526 in my glove compartment. A year later, I'm at church. The pastor asked me to take this girl home. We're talking about her testimonies. She tells me that her rent is due, but she only has, it's $800. And I asked her, well, do you have the full 800 that you owe? She says, no, it's just 520 something.
Lo and behold,
it's in my glove compartment. Don't even know that girl. Like, what? I mean, I was speaking at a conference. I had this whole thing planned out. The Lord changed it on Saturday morning. The conferences on Sunday night. I'm like, Lord, I'm not going to be able to memorize it. I'm a mom. And I messaged the pastor. I'm like, I don't know. I don't want to freak you out, but I have to change everything. She said, the Lord told me everything was going to change. I said,
It takes my breath away.
He told you, because I was real nervous to tell you.
He just takes my breath away.
Yeah.
His goodness.
Oh my gosh.
It takes my breath away. And let me tell you why. Because I know I don't deserve it.
Yeah.
Like, I know it. Like, I've done too much. I've been through too much. I sin. I had to stop drinking this past season because I was throwing the wine back. Okay. Like, I was like, numbness, pain. And I'm like, this is not you, girl. No, you can't do that. Put accountability in place. And he's just like, I want to show up for you. I want to remind you that it's not what you do. It's who you are, my daughter.
Yeah.
It takes my breath away.
He's so good.
My next podcast season is just going to be stories of awe and wonder or something like that. Please. Like, I just need to do a whole season where I just tell all these stories because we have to see the living, breathing God, not the Sunday morning God, not the pastor. We need to experience the living, breathing God. That's what builds our faith. That's what's going to carry the next generation.
God off the pages. Like, let's see the God off the pages, like looking in our
life. Did we just get our new podcast season?
I think we did.
The God off the pages?
Oh my God. We just discovered something else. We just thought of a new project that can be filmed in South Louisiana if it must.
Listen, in the middle of my field, 26 acres, let's do it.
Yes. Okay. Hello, 26 acres. That's incredible.
Okay, what are we talking about?
Yeah, I'm like, okay, how do I get back to Moxie? But really, those are the kind of things that give us that.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Right? Like, those are the things that give us that fight and that gumption to be 100%. Like, no, I've seen it before.
Can't tell me. I drank the Kool-Aid. You can't tell me nothing else. And I think what we need the most when it comes to Moxie, when it comes to resilience, is we need to understand that we're not pulling from our strength. And I think for us girls, like, oh my gosh, growing up, I was always told, be strong. It's okay. Pull your bootstraps up. It's okay. Yeah. Keep it moving. Don't let emotions run you. And I'm telling you, 2 Corinthians chapter 12 has been really honestly a mindset shift for me, because it said, no, actually God is saying to me in my weakness, his grace is sufficient for this. Homeboy has already covered all this. And what I need to understand is that the more I boast about my weaknesses is the more God shows up and gives me strength. It's not this pretend, let's numb it out. That's not true courage. That's not true bravery here, family and friends. Like, Moxie is built by our surrender. Because now we actually have like a strength that can endure anything in the world, because it's not ours, it's God's. And it's supernatural and it's divine and it's omniscient and it's omnipresent. And it is moving when we are asleep, okay?
Yeah.
On the job. Yeah. And so I just want to encourage somebody out there, man, like, we just got to be done with the whole fake strength thing. Like, can we be done? Like, are we?
Mm-hmm. Like, we got the soft life.
Like, let's just have the soft life here, guys. Let's just all say, like Brene Brown said this, we are imperfect and we're wired for struggle, but we're still worthy of love and belonging. How much does it mean to be worthy of love and belonging when you know you ratchet out here, okay?
Yeah.
When you know you weak and you ain't got, I mean, I got into a high speed chase like 3 years ago. Just a mere 3 years ago. Now, not with the police, but with this guy that was in his truck, he was riding my tail, he got crazy. I got anger issues on the road, bro, like... It means more when I'm like, Lord, you're going to have to come step in on this one. And he's like, this is the part of you that you need to fix.
Yeah.
And he still loves me the same.
And what does that, the hard part to me, I think, for a lot of people, is that when we display our weaknesses, the world discredits us.
Come on.
But then we're able to glorify God. But that is what we have to, how do we overcome that?
Ooh.
Like, how do we overcome the discrediting of the world, but the elevation of the Lord?
Well, I think for one, it's exactly what you said. We have to know that the world is doing that. We have to know and that they're wrong. Like, I know now that it is not at all my perfection that'll get me to success in this world. It's going to be my surrender every single time. Every single time. But I had to be aware that the world was feeding us this lie that if we are aesthetically pleasing, if we have everything together, we're going to have the most success. Yeah, but what happens when you have a moral failure? Everybody ready to rip you down because you haven't been open enough.
Totally.
You see, you haven't been open. It's going to damage you in the long run. There's no longevity in that. There's no longevity in playing pretend. So we have to know that the world is setting us up, teeing us up to fall so freaking hard. And then the second thing is that we can't care. I think about the world now like I think about middle school friends in middle school and high school. And I have a 9-year-old who's going through this right now. She's got a friend. She accidentally hit her. Her friend is mad. She's not talking to her no more. My daughter's whole world is so, like, just destroyed. I'm not going to say she's not my friend anymore. Mom. Every day, I'm like, girl, I feel you. What I want to say to her, however, is you will not know her in about 5 years.
I know.
You won't even remember her. Let me tell you something. If I saw somebody from middle school and high school, I guarantee you I won't remember their name. I guarantee it. I'm already bad with names. And I will see somebody and I'm like, oh, Lord, I didn't even realize that was their name. I think about that in the same way as I think about my heavenly relationship with God and the way that I live now. When I get to heaven, okay, because hopefully I do. I have said yes to Jesus. I'm going to have a small loft. I already know. I didn't do too much. Okay, yeah. It's all right.
I'm not getting
all right. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there, though. When I get there, it's going to be me and my maker. He is going to judge my life, and that's it. Pookie and them don't get to do it. My cousins, my mama, my ex-husbands, nobody. Nobody gets to dictate what God thinks of me when I get to heaven. And so I'm leaving all you freaking high schoolers behind, okay? I'm gonna stop caring what all of you think. I'm gonna live the most open and vulnerable and honest life. I'm gonna tell y'all everything. My followers know I struggled with alcohol in October and I put a hard stop on it and I have accountability and I stopped drinking through my healing process. You know that because when my crazy behind or if my crazy behind had one too many drinks and I'm on TMZ, you already know I'm struggling out here, okay? And I'm not because I have accountability, praise the Lord. But I don't want to hide that. I don't want to hide that because now that you're listening and watching me and you see my 80-something thousand followers, the first thing that comes to mind is, oh, I know it ain't her. I know she couldn't do that. It had to be God. It had to be God that put her back on a platform after she did this. It had to be God after she'd been so deeply betrayed, barely had any energy to do anything to infuse her with joy enough to come on this podcast, okay, and be wild and freaking confident out here. It had to be God because it's not by her strength. She's told us and she showed us that she's weak and he is strong. And that's how we do it. And I don't care what none of you whippersnappers think at all. I do not care. I could be hit by a bus tomorrow. I'm gone. She gone. I'm about to go be with the Lord. And I don't care what any of y'all think. I truly do
not whippersnappers.
Not one of you whippersnappers. Call me what you want. I'll be ready to get canceled. I'm like, cancel me. Cancel me. You humans cancel me so I can show you the glory of God and what it looks like for God to say, not that one. Can't touch that one. She surrendered to me. I'm protecting this one. Come on. Mm-hmm.
How did you get to that point?
I don't even freaking know. No, let me stop. I was super insecure growing up. No, that's not true. A lot of work. Let's be honest. I was super insecure growing up. It came out as confidence, like, oh, I'm so confident. I do this and I do that. But the truth is I was a chronic people pleaser. I wanted to be all things to everybody. My counselor calls me a master chameleon. I will morph into whatever somebody else is to make them feel comfortable and to make them like me. And that's my, you know, weakness, just showing up as a little achiever, just wanting to make daddy proud, wanting to make everybody proud. And so I really had to do my work. The first thing I did was hop into counseling every single week for 3 years. And I worked on all of this. My counselor said I had a bottomless pit, that no matter how many accolades I had and how well I did in life, like nothing was ever enough because there wasn't enough acceptance. There wasn't enough like people cheering me on because I had a bottomless pit. I had to close that pit through the worthiness of God, through understanding that it wasn't at all what I did, but who I am. I went to spiritual encounters. I mean, I pursued God. I followed that sucker. I went from a fan of God to a follower of God. I was like, help me. I want to be whole. I want to not care about what people think. I want to only surrender to you. And it's when I made the Lord my king, like, you run the show. Every single morning I wake up and I say, Jesus, I give everything and everyone to you. Take over my life because you're better at it. Then I say, please don't let me mess this up because you know I'm crazy. You know, like yeah. I walk in that. I have accountability. I meet with 6 women every single month for 3 hours called my confessional community. And we confess everything, every lustful thought, every drink we didn't had too many, every whatever. I practice confession and witness all the time. And I never think that I can't fall. Never. Every single day I'm fighting to make sure that my wild and crazy freaking self doesn't mess up what the Lord has gifted me with, privileged me with. And that's it. I'm like, I'm just freaking humble Harriet over here. Dang it. I'm like, I can mess it up every day.
Yeah.
And with that posture, it's like, why would I allow someone else's words on this earth to taint the beauty of what God has given me, his trust, his kingdom, his people, his daughters that I get to steward. I mean, I'm so unworthy of that. So unworthy. And he gave it to me. No one on this earth can take that away. No. You don't get to have that.
And even someone like you who has this platform, who has 80 plus thousand people following, like those of us who have just one kid and so far and not even 20,000 followers, we still have that same honor and responsibility. And I think like when we see that the platform, let's put in quotations, isn't any higher than the audience member, the person in the seat.
Yes.
Like as far as like assignment or purpose, you know?
Yes.
The sooner we can accept that, the wider we can cast our nets.
Oh, I think about this all the time. If I was in a crowd of people that didn't know the Lord, he would leave me to go to them.
Wait, like, say that one more time.
If I was in a crowd of people,
he
would leave me to go to them.
Yeah. Like, whoa, that's good.
Because he's always going after the one. Mm-hmm. Always. Mm. And I'm like, what? I think he's so incredible for that. He wouldn't say, oh, well, Tony could probably reach more people if I went to her because she got these followers. No, he would leave me to go to the ones who didn't know him yet.
That's so good. That is so, I've read it a million times put myself as the one.
I'm the one, but I'm the 99.
But I'm in the 99.
I know him. I know him. I love him. I'm like, I've had enough. Go get him. Let's go get him.
Yeah.
Let's go get him.
Yeah.
I'll stand in the valleys. I'll go with you. I'll go with you to go to the one because he's already been so good that if he didn't do another thing for me, I would be forever indebted because he's already been so good to me.
Yeah.
So that's okay. Leave me. Let's go get them.
Yeah.
That's the God. Like that's who comes for you.
Yeah. And those, the evidence of that in your life gives you unshakable moxie.
Unshakable.
Like moxie. That's what it gives you is that.
Freaking is right.
The foundation and the confidence. I mean, let's be honest, sometimes when I'm speaking, I'm like, I have to have wild confidence because what I'm saying is absolutely not logical because the Lord is not logical.
It doesn't make sense.
He does miracles. He shows up in places. He moves people. Like he does things that it doesn't make sense. To have this wild confidence. I have to have this unshakable moxie to then be able to give it to you and be like, I have to tell you about it because I'm a cuckoo bird. But it's so
this is crazy.
Is this crazy?
If there weren't witnesses, so you think I'm lying? Like
exactly. If this is not a historical fact, like what?
You think I'm lying out here?
Oh my gosh. He's that good. I am so excited for everything that you do, everything that you put your hand to, everything. I just love your guts. Where can we keep up with you? Where can we watch Unshakable Moxie?
Yeah, all the things. So my platforms are just Tony J. Collier. Ain't nothing fancy. TONIJCOLLIER. And I have Unshakable Moxie all over my stuff right now, obviously. But if you want to go straight to the show, I would encourage you to go to unshakablemoxie.org, or you can go to the Our Daily Bread YouTube, and all of the episodes are there for you to watch. We have free downloads. We even have a Bible study that goes along with it. So if you have your small group, so you want to get together with somebody, even teen girls, like if you are a leader of a small group for middle schoolers or high schoolers, right? Like, watch it with them. This is like, I mean, of all the role models that they have to look, you know, look at right now, which is trashy. It's trashy out here, and it's the ghetto. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's try to show them what godly women who is sustained for years and years and years looks like. Because it was encouraging to me as a 32-year-old. And Lord, I wish as a 16-year-old, I would have had something like this to say, oh, I can actually be successful and have really incredible world impacting things and not be out here showing my nipples to everybody. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
I could have saved some booty cheeks. Okay.
Yes. More. And the things that life is going to throw at them, this is the kind of thing that shows them how to overcome it, as opposed to what they're watching on Netflix or whatever that just says fame and fortune is success.
Oh, yeah. It's right? Like a Cinderella story. You're watching the Cinderella story. We don't want that. Okay. You need to see what this is really like over here.
Yes.
To, like Johnny Erickson Tata, to literally lose the ability to walk, move her hands, everything, and still be incredible, world-changing things. The ability to lose someone you love, Dr. Bernice King, and to still grow up resilient and know that you've got a heavenly father that will step into your earthly father's place. Come on, like, it's insane. We need to show that our girls this. They got to see it.
Yes. Man. Yeah.
You need it too.
Look, yes, but I'm so excited about this for especially young women. I mean, I need it just as bad as they do, but I wish I would have had it sooner.
Me too,
right?
Girl.
Like, gosh, that's the kind of stuff. That's why I wrote Don't Date a Booba Dude. It's just a book I wish I had sooner. You know, like,
many boo-boo dudes.
So many boo-boo dudes. I wish I just had it sooner. I wish I had it in high school. And this is the kind of thing that we need to be teaching and showing next gen, because they're about to face it. The drama is all the same. From whenever
The game ain't
broadcast.
The game be changing, but the players is something. I don't know.
Yeah.
My mama used to say it. The players have changed, but the game is the same. There we go.
That's right. That's right. Thank you so much for hanging out with us today. You are incredible. And I can't wait to watch every second of this. You're amazing. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you so, so much for spending time with us today and hanging out here on Wild Confidence. I hope that you feel encouraged and ready to tackle the day, feeling even more confident than you did before you started listening. I'd be so thankful if you left a review or shared this episode with a friend, and I'll see you soon. Oh, don't forget, let's connect on Instagram. My Instagram handle is @AinsleyB, and I hope to meet you there.